You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
On a Monday, the final day of the month of September, we welcome you in to the Gym Class, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Great to have you with us. Scott Unash, joined by Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Isaac Elzinga on the other side of the glass, our producer. We got a good show coming up for you today, as we will take a look at the weekend that was in the world of sports. College football, pro football, the Iowa State Cyclones. We've got Major League Baseball 162 plus one, if you will, as far as the regular season is concerned. And what a crazy, crazy game they got going on in Atlanta right now. We'll update you on that. And a whole lot more. Maybe a little golf talk as well with the President's Cup wrapping up yesterday. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Love to hear from you as always. Again, 319-366-1600. That is the phone number as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give Isaac a call, that is also 319-366-1600. 1600. Coming your way, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And Mark, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And happy last day of September. And they really like thrillers in Georgia, Scott, after Saturday night. And now what's going on in baseball.
Amazing stuff right now. Isaac, how are you? How was your weekend?
Good. I'm happy to be back. Had a couple days off there and feeling refreshed.
Excellent. That's what days off are supposed to do.
Yes, they are.
Refresh you. We have got craziness going in Atlanta. Nobody wants to win this game. Doubleheader between the Mets and the Braves, of course, with two wild card spots on the line, as you heard at the top of the hour from ESPN. Braves were sailing along 3-0, then decided to play 2024 baseball and take their starter out that was just sailing along and has been 2-0 and hardly given up a run all year to the New York Mets. Well, they coughed up the lead with the bullpen. Then it was coughed up again. Looked like Atlanta had it. And then Lindor hits a two-run home run in the top of the ninth inning to give the Mets an 8-7 lead with two outs right now, Mark, in the bottom of the ninth inning. The Braves do have the tying run at second base right now. And pretty simple, if the Mets and Braves split their doubleheader, then they will both get in. And the Diamondbacks will be out. If one of these teams sweeps the doubleheader, they will be in, and the Diamondbacks will be in. It's fairly simple with the math. Don't ask me. I will figure out later here as far as seeding is concerned. But this has been a crazy, crazy Major League Baseball game.
Yeah, it has. And as you mentioned, the Braves were sailing all along 3-0 through seven. Schwellenbach had thrown 94 pitches. So I don't know if you're going to go with him anymore. But it went to the bullpen, and the Mets scored six. The Braves responded with four, and the Mets responded with two. And now two outs, two balls, two strikes on the batter, and with a runner on second base, we'll see what happens. But it's very interesting. I think the Braves are scheduled to start Chris Sale in game two, depending on, I suppose, this game.
And the game is now over. The Mets have won, so the Mets have won, so New York is now in the postseason. So they have clinched a wild card. Now it comes down to this. If the Braves would have hung on, Mark, I And Spencer and I were talking about this in the sports office as well before I came in here. I don't think Chris Sale goes. Now Chris Sale has to go in game number two for the Atlanta Braves. And I have no idea what lineup the Mets are going to put out there, if they are going to go with a lot of backups because they are in, or if they are going to play their frontliners at least for a few at-bats. I don't know. The Arizona Diamondbacks would like to have them try to play this as a regular game in August or September with a lot on the line, because they're just sitting down in the desert. Just they have no say in this other than the fact that they are hoping really hard right now for the New York Mets in game number two.
Yeah, and Chris Sale has rarely had a bad start. He's 18-3 and 2.38 ERA. Mets scheduled to start Severino, who's had a pretty decent year, but it'll be interesting to see who the Mets trot out. And I think they should put a responsible lineup in there. But you never know. I mean, if you're in, you're in.
I guess you can. I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see what kind of lineup that the Mets put out there. I think for the integrity of baseball, I mean, there's no rule that says you have to, right? And you never know what's going to happen. I mean, even if they put out a second of teamers out there, they got their opportunity. They're going to try to go after it. So, yeah, I don't know. A lot on the line, that's for sure. Greg and Epworth saying Sale will be pitching. Go Braves and eliminate those Diamondbacks. As he's waiting to see who is going to take on the Milwaukee Brewers coming up in the best of three, which will start tomorrow. And we will have, we're going to be joining up tomorrow night with, we got the Cyclone Coaches Show for you tomorrow night from 6:30 until 8 o'clock. And then right after that, we will have the game with the San Diego Padres and whomever they are going to be playing. We will have that for you. And then on Tuesday night, we will have the Brewer game, Greg. We are going to have the Brewer game for you on Wednesday night, game two, whoever the Brewers will be playing. So that's the way it looks anyway for Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday, we have no idea. It just depends how the first two games of the Major League Wild Card Series go. Could have that, could have Thursday night football. Tampa Bay and Atlanta will go at it on Thursday. It's a fun time of the year, Mark, but it's filled with this or that or TBAs, or if this team wins, this could happen. You got a lot of those scenarios.
Yeah, you do, and it's an odd ending to the regular season because of the hurricane and postponed to this doubleheader today. And, you know, it's going to make for a short and maybe inconvenient travel for whoever, if not both of these teams, are going to make a playoff run, but they'll take it. I don't think they're going to care too much.
No. Before we leave baseball here, before we get to football, as we are at 3:14 on a Monday, should mention a couple things about the Major League Baseball season. As some I'm not going to say oddities, but you came so very close to Shohei Ohtani winning the National League Triple Crown for the first time in, what, seven decades or something like that. If it wasn't for Luis Arraez, and he also has a little history behind his winning of the batting title yet again.
Yeah, Arraez with three batting titles with three different teams, and the one this year has deprived Ohtani of a possible triple crown. That would have been the first time in 87 years in the National League. Doesn't diminish what Ohtani has done, and I think what Arraez has done has really flown under the radar. It's one thing to win three batting titles in a row, but three different teams speaks to the guy's skill. There's no doubt about it. And yeah, I wish he was still playing for the Twins, but that's a couple of years ago.
Won a batting title for him, though. Twins, Miami Marlins, and now the San Diego Padres for Luis Arraez. And yeah, he beat out Shohei Ohtani by 4 points. Arraez with 314 and Shohei with 310. Bobby Witt Jr. was your batting champion in the American League and overall at 332. He edged out Aaron Judge by 10 points. So Vladimir Guerrero was between those two. So you had two players, both very much, very, very much the favorites for their respective league's MVP. And we'll talk with Cal Eldred more about this coming up tomorrow. We'll take a look at the first round, the wild card series, which should be very, very entertaining. And we'll do that more with Cal coming up tomorrow on the program. So Mets are in, and Braves need to win. Arizona is rooting for the Mets. And Spencer will keep you updated on that as the start time for the second half of that doubleheader is scheduled for, as my computer sits here and spins. It's probably going to be about 35, 40 minutes or so. Just we'll go with that. 319-366-1600 here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. And we can get to football, Mark. College football, professional football. Let's start off with college football. No Iowa game, no UNI game for this past weekend. But we had the Iowa State Cyclones in action on Saturday night. Iowa State down in Houston, Texas, taking on the Houston Cougars. And a stellar defensive performance against a, you think Iowa had bad offenses for a couple of years. They got nothing on the Houston Cougars, who haven't scored in three games now. Iowa State coming away with a hard-fought 20-0 victory over Houston on Saturday night. Defense, I thought, was exceptional for Iowa State. Offense did what they had to do. It wasn't an overwhelming performance, but it was certainly a very good performance for the league opener on the road.
Yeah, and it was boring. it was 3-0 at halftime, and yeah, Houston's really bad, and Iowa State did just what it had to do. You mentioned the defense, which was terrific. Bo Freeler is a heck of a player, by the way. But 240 yards rushing, Abu Sama and Jalen Jackson. This Jackson kid, man, is he quick. He had 92 yards rushing and a milestone for Matt Campbell. Terrific. And Iowa State winning another conference road game, which doesn't happen every day. And overall, Iowa State only one of two teams in the Big 12 to be unbeaten. BYU is the other team. But there's an assortment at this early juncture anyway, an assortment of teams that hasn't lost, six teams that haven't lost in league play. That'd be BYU, Colorado, and Texas Tech, all 2-0. Iowa State, Arizona, and West Virginia, 1-0. And then you have K-State and Utah looming at 1-1, again, early juncture. Now, this is going to be a mad scramble in the Big 12.
It is. It is going to be a mad scramble. And it's way too early to speculate. I mean, Iowa State has played one game. Arizona knocking off Utah, though, at Big 12 after dark on Saturday night, in case folks missed that game. Arizona defensively looked very good. Utah at home dropping that game after winning at Oklahoma State. No Cam Rising once again. And I don't know, Mark. Yes, that was a great win at Stillwater, but I'm not sure Utah can win the Big 12 without their star quarterback. I'm doubting it a little bit more now.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Rising is, of course, in his seventh year and has so much experience. We'll see if he gets back at all. And by the great way, Greg and Eppert, I'm not an Iowa fan. I call the game boring. I call a lot of Iowa games boring the last 2 years. I'll just set the record straight there, Greg. Love you, man.
It wasn't the most exciting. Next to Georgia, Alabama, it wasn't the most exciting game, that's for sure. Texas Tech is suddenly 2-0. Colorado, I got to say this, Mark. Colorado was very impressive. To me, that was the most impressive performance I have seen from a Coach Prime team under his tutelage. Yes, they beat TCU in that first game last year, but that was not nearly the same TCU team that was in the national championship game. That was a good offensive and defensive all-around game for Colorado. And when they have Shedeur Sanders and Hunter, they can compete with anybody. Iowa State does not get Colorado. Iowa State does not get BYU. Iowa State does not get Arizona. So far, things are looking good for the Cyclones at this point, Mark.
Well, there's still Utah on the road out there. There's still Kansas State. But it could be worse. The schedule could be worse. At one time, we thought Kansas was going to be a very difficult game at Arrowhead. But Kansas has fallen on hard times for whatever reason. And, yeah, Colorado looked good. My Heisman vote, if I had one like I used to, I was thinking Travis Hunter might be a Heisman front runner until I saw Jalen Milrow Saturday night.
We'll get to that.
That changed my opinion. I don't care whether Travis Hunter plays every snap, special teams, whatever. Milrow was tremendous. And Travis Hunter may still win it. I don't know, but he's certainly in the conversation. But Milrow was unbelievable, almost 500 yards total offense. Crazy.
He was good. What a game that was, and we'll get to it. Did you know Ryan Williams is 17 years old, Mark?
I did. And he had a mildly good game, huh?
He wasn't bad. He wasn't bad. Isaac, I saw you over there shaking your head. You are for Travis Hunter for Heisman.
Yeah, I just want to see a non-quarterback win it, whether that's the Boise State running back, Ashton Ginty. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he's also crazy. I just want to see a non-QB win it. I don't know if any – I agree that there was a QB to win it. It'd be Milrow. He's the only one who's really, really impressed thus far. But, like, what I'm seeing from Travis Hunter is just crazy, crazy stuff. And the more I watch him, the more I think he's going to become a defensive back in the league because his ball skills are just, I don't know, it's like unteachable, the sort of just instincts he has on that end. And then you can just, toss him out for a play or two on offense every now and then.
I would agree with that. And now I don't like to see the Heisman pose after game four. I mean, come on.
Where would he ever get that, Scott? Culture, man, culture.
Interestingly enough, that has actually worked its way all the way down to the high school ranks, because now you're getting teams that have social media following them and with cameras in the end zone. And there were two incidents last Friday night, one that we saw and another, well, one Thursday, one Friday, two Friday, one Thursday, that we saw where there were flags thrown because of celebrations after touchdowns, because the camera was there. And you got to get your likes and everything going, Mark. You know that. So it's gotten all the way down to there, man. No one's done the Heisman pose yet. That's good news.
In the high school ranks? No.
Correct. No, there is a high school Heisman, though. 319-366-1600. 3:50 is the start time for the second game between the Mets and the Braves. And already, Mark, the Mets have already made a change. It is now TBD, their starting pitcher.
Yeah.
So Severino is not going to go out there. It's going to be a bullpen game, and have not seen a lineup come down as of yet, but when it does, we will take a look at it, because that game will get started before We depart at 4 o'clock. And Spencer on sports, Spencer Wagon will keep you updated on game number two, that big doubleheader down in Atlanta between the Braves and the New York Mets. Congratulations to the Mets. They are in. We've got Monday Night Football coming up tonight. There are actually two games once again. We will have the game between the Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks from Ford Field, 6:30 with the pregame on Westwood One for that one, 7:15 with the kickoff. There is another game which will kick off at 6:30, and that will be the Tennessee Titans at 0-3 taking on the Miami Dolphins at 1-2. And who is starting tonight at quarterback? It's not Skylar Thompson. It is not Tua Tagovailoa. It is Tyler Huntley, ladies and gentlemen, who will be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins tonight. And if you had that on your bingo card for week number four for Miami football this year, your crystal ball is working a lot better than others. We'll just say that. 319-366-1600. Before we talk more college football, Big Ten, Alabama, Georgia, we'll get to the pros as well. Let's do this. Let's get it to Mark for an Emels Hideaway scoreboard update. It is brought to you by Emels, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to Home Depot. And they are open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. A classic local American restaurant right off First Avenue near Lindale Mall. What do we got?
Two Eastern Iowans have qualified for the Senior PGA Championship. They are Jeff Schmidt and Sean McCarty from Brown Deer and Coralville at the Senior PGA Professionals Championship, Club Pros Championship in Oregon over the weekend. Schmidt finished ninth. McCarty tied for 10th. Also qualifying for next May's event is Judd Gibb from Fort Dodge. In Iowa football news, the Hawkeyes will play Albany, an FCS team which reached the semifinals last year before getting drilled by South Dakota State. Albany is 1-3 this year, but at any rate, the Hawkeyes will host Albany next August 30th in the opener. The Florida Atlantic game scheduled to be the opener has been moved to 20:30. Kick times have been announced for Iowa and Iowa State for the October 12th games. Iowa will host Washington at 11 a.m., 9 o'clock Pacific, on either Fox or the Big Ten Network. And Iowa State at West Virginia will kick at 7 p.m. on Fox. And unfortunate news over the weekend, Dikembe Mutombo has died at the age of 58. Mutombo had been diagnosed with brain cancer in 2022. Tremendous defensive player out of Georgetown, 8-time All-Star. He's originally from the Republic of Congo.
Go ahead.
Great ambassador for the NBA.
Yeah, became the first global ambassador of the NBA, a position that was made at the request and because of what Dikembe Mutombo has done. 4-time Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA. Terrible loss. Terrible loss right there. And we will always remember him for the finger wagging, right, Isaac, in his commercials?
Yes, I'll say for the commercials. He had some good ones out there.
He was very good without saying a whole lot in those commercials. But, man, too bad. Too bad. Age 58. 319-366-1600. Yes, 96-63. I agree with you. There's no way the Mets are going to play their stars. They got to go to San Diego or to Milwaukee tonight on a red eye and turn around and play tomorrow. Although the National League Series are going to be the night series, the American League Series are going to be in the afternoon. And it will be that way both on Tuesday and Wednesday. More on baseball with Cal Eldred coming up tomorrow. A little bit of baseball news today, Mark. Thank goodness. We asked for it. We got it. The world did. Baseball fans all over the planet asked for regular team uniforms to be worn at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, and it will come to fruition starting again next year. Those monstrosities that they designed every year, somehow in conjunction with the host team, they will not be appearing again anytime soon. Hallelujah for that.
As it should be.
As it should be. And they're also going to make the lettering of the names, the last names of the players on the back of the uniforms, bigger next year, and they're changing the fabric, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't matter. What matters is that your Minnesota Twins, my Chicago White Sox, are going to have their uniform out there as it should be next year for the All-Star Game in Atlanta, Georgia. 319-366-1600 coming up on 331. Oh, Mark, before we get to a break here, the results of the Emil's Hideaway pick six.
We can do that. We can slot it in now. For the second straight week, Scott, you went 5-1.
Woo!
And prevailed over the rest of us, the other three of us. Dave and Spencer were 4-2. And I brought up the rear at 2-4. I'm sure Isaac has our winner of the $30 gift card to Emo's Hideaway.
Yes, that's going to be Tony, who I will call in just a couple minutes.
Tony, congratulations. Thank you for the confidence. I fully expect to be taken first this week. That's 2 in a row. I'm on a heater.
Well, I will say, now that you've had 5-1 2 weeks in a row, I think 1-5 is coming this next Friday. Not to jinx you or anything, or, you know, have any bad juju out there, but that's usually how it goes.
You're right. You're very right. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and have more in the world of college football. We'll talk some NFL with you as well when we return after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and it's going to be a sunny and quiet day. Temperatures are going to be in the low to mid 80s. It'll be warm and a bit humid. That's ahead of a cold front that will move through tonight, bringing with it just a few clouds and some breezy conditions. That's going to usher in some cooler air for Tuesday. We'll have sunny skies and temperatures in the mid to upper 60s, feeling like fall on the first day of October. As we head into tomorrow night, temperatures cool down to a low around 40. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Don't tell them, but we love that guy. And these people say that.
I think of my cell phone. There's not a big distinction there from family to customer.
Deary Ford in Iowa City.
I love working with the people.
That kind of relationship that goes deep.
When you hear those things, you think, okay, we're doing the right thing. We're doing it the right way.
We basically let you kind of walk us through the process, which is completely opposite of what a normal car dealership would do.
Deary Ford in Iowa City. See why people choose them over and over again. DearyFord.com.
What will you write in that email? The one admitting you've been hacked. Today, your clients trust you. You still have time. So call Network Computer Solutions for a network security scan. This highly specialized process detects security gaps in your network, and NCS provides recommendations to close them. Do everything you can today so your business never has to write that email. Call NCS for a network security scan at 319-247-7223.
Meet your new favorite trading card store. Cooley Cards and Gaming is open in Cedar Rapids. Stop by and see their huge selection. Cooley Cards and Gaming has everything. Sports cards, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh! And more, including almost every new release. They also buy and trade any trading card with value, plus they have collecting supplies and memorabilia. These are your people. Stop in 7 days a week at Cooley Cards and Gaming in their new Cedar Rapids location, 2660 Wiley Boulevard Southwest, next to Jonesy's.
334 back with you here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. We got some breaking news here, guys. Chris Sale has been scratched from his start for the Atlanta Braves, suffering from back spasms. So the Braves will not have their ace dealing in a winner-take-all must-win game number two against the New York Mets, Mark. So more intrigue into the final baseball regular season game of the year.
That adds a little spice to things, huh?
Yes.
A couple bullpen games.
Yeah, it does. Now anything is possible. Anything is. I mean, in baseball, anything is possible each and every day. You don't know what you're going to see when you go to the ballpark. But now, holy cow. Going to be interesting. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And we talked a little bit about Iowa State as the Cyclones go to 4-0 and go to 1-0 in the Big 12 Conference with their victory on Saturday night over the Houston Cougars. Big 10 from Saturday, Mark. It was Penn State on Saturday night. It wasn't certainly a dominating performance by the Nittanies, but they did come away with the victory against a Illinois team that just kind of, they hung in there. They didn't really do anything. They never really made you think they were going to win that game on Saturday night, but Penn State really didn't run away with it as well, but the Nittanies win 21-7 and hand Illinois their first loss.
Yeah, that was another game that it was kind of, I thought exactly what you thought, that I never believed Illinois was going to win that game, but I've been impressed with Illinois, and Altmaier's been good, and he wasn't terrific at Penn State by any means, but Penn State has more skill, more talent, whatnot. It showed out. It was only a 21-7 victory, but you'll have that from time to time. I still don't think that Penn State is a national championship contender. That could be proven wrong down the road, but we'll see.
Earlier in the day, the little brown jug goes to Michigan once again as Minnesota. And they are still talking about the call at the end of that game. Was he offside? Was he not offside? Isaac, you think he wasn't offside?
I don't care whatever Minnesota has to complain about. I just think it's ironic Minnesota's complaining, that's all. That's what I was chuckling about.
Ah, yes, the shoe is on the other foot now.
Yes, I don't care if he was offside or not. I just think it's funny seeing Minnesota fans melt down the same way Iowa did last year. That's all.
27-21, the Gopher, or 27-24, I beg your pardon, the Gophers fall at Michigan to go to 2-3. Nebraska continues the suffering for the Purdue Boilermakers, 28-10. Indiana's in the rankings now, Mark. 42 points they put up on the board against Maryland. The Hoosiers, the talk of the Big Ten, the darling of the Big Ten Conference, as they are now 5-0 for Kurt Cignetti. He's good. Ask him. Look it up. Google it. 42-28 as Indiana gets a win. They got to beat somebody really good before I'm believing into it. But Indiana's going to go to a nice bowl destination this year.
I've been impressed, but watch Indiana lose at Northwestern this week.
I don't see that happening.
Well, I don't either, but you didn't see a lot of things happen in the first few weeks of the season. Interestingly, you talk about Minnesota. I haven't verified this, but this is from David Eicholt, who we've had been a frequent guest on the show. Last year, that invalid fair catch call against Iowa came with 1:37 left on the clock. The offside on the onside kick came at 1:37 on the clock.
Isn't it funny? Irony. Ohio State tuned up for their Iowa game with a romp in the park up at East Lansing, 38-7. I did not recognize the Wisconsin Badger team, Mark, in the first half at the Coliseum on Saturday afternoon, and then USC got the wake-up call at halftime, came out and shut them out 28-0 in the second half to beat Wisconsin 38-21. I mean, USC is that was a perfect example of kind of the way their season has gone, on a yo-yo all year, up and down and up and down. And they were up in the second half, and the Trojans bring Wisconsin down to 2-2 now in the season.
Iowa, from the first three games, felt exactly like Iowa fans, that is, felt like Wisconsin fans in that game. Great first half, didn't show up in the second half. USC with 20, outscored them 28-0, and I guess USC can say the same thing, right? But sometimes things transpire that way, and it certainly did in that game.
And not much of a game for Big Ten After Dark as well down at the Rose Bowl. Yes, it was a Big Ten game, ladies and gentlemen, but Oregon took it to UCLA 34-13, and they kind of sleptwalked through the second half a little bit as well, as Oregon improves to 4-0 on the season. Mentioned the rankings that came out. Alabama number one in the AP poll, but Texas remains number one in the coaches poll this week. Not that it has a big bearing at this stage of the ball game, but unique and interesting, certainly. Mentioned Indiana, number 23 in the AP poll, just ahead of Illinois, and Indiana number 24 in the coaches poll, just ahead of the Fighting Illini. Iowa State, number 16 in both polls. Cyclones move up two spots in the AP poll, move up three spots in the coaches' poll. The newcomer this week, that would be the Running Rebels of Nevada, Las Vegas, in the football poll for the first time in many, many moons. And a lot of people very happy with the fact that they took care of business on Saturday night without their starting quarterback, who decided to redshirt and transfer ultimately from UNLV. A lot of people were very happy about that Vegas outcome.
Many had the last laugh, and UNLV was a laughingstock. You recall, Scott, a couple of years ago when Iowa State went out there. That was an awful football team, but I just put things together. Well, the Fresno State, they drilled on Saturday. That was impressive. In the polls, I continually wonder about Missouri. Is Missouri really that good? Is Missouri the number 9 team in the country? We may find out this week when it visits Texas A&M. And Michigan at number 10, I'm still unconvinced about the Wolverines, but I don't know. I think you have probably 5-6 teams that you could pencil in. Maybe they could win the national championship. And the rest of them, I think, are along for the ride.
On the text line, yes, the Braves just scratched Chris Sale. We mentioned that a couple minutes ago. Greg in Epworth says, my Badgers are an absolute hot mess. Well, they look good in the first half. Not so much in the second half of that particular ball game. And 85-82, I agree with you 100%. Do not like Iowa State having a nighttime 7 p.m. kick in Morgantown in 2 weeks. Now, Iowa State's got to beat Baylor first. They're a two-touchdown favorite at home Saturday night against Baylor. That'll be the third straight primetime appearance for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones. But you give Morgantown a chance to well, let's just say, take in libations during most of the day. It is going to be a very hostile environment in a couple of weeks down in Morgantown, West Virginia, for Iowa State.
Yeah, this is an interesting West Virginia team. Some of us thought it would be the sleeper pick in the Big 12. It got hammered against Penn State in the opener. It played that Albany team, which is going to open at Iowa next season, and beat them convincingly, but then a loss, a close loss to Pittsburgh. Pitt's good, and then barely beat Kansas. Now has to go to Oklahoma State this week, so I'm not sure what you're getting in West Virginia.
Solid team. I don't think they are nearly what Pat McAfee thinks they are. He had them in the college football playoff as the Big 12 champion going into the year. I think that was more of a shock pick than anything. Perhaps Pat McAfee has been known to shock people. I know, Isaac, you find that hard to believe. But he did have West Virginia as his Big 12 champion. Still could happen, but yeah, we'll see. 1345 says, I'm glad that he's referring to me. Glad my Chiefs didn't let me down in the survivor pool this week. Have not heard yet about Rashee Rice and the outcome of the MRI. I don't think it's going to be good. And yes, the Chiefs are 4-0. That was all defense yesterday. We'll get to the NFL coming up here in just a little bit. But Chiefs now facing the future without Hollywood Brown, without Rashee Rice, and without Isaiah Pacheco. So, yeah. That's football.
I don't think too many people are shedding crocodile tears for your Chiefs.
I know. Yeah. 319-366-1600. 6980 agreeing with you, Mark. Michigan is not a good team right now. I hope I'm wrong, but I would be surprised if they have anything less than 3 to 4 losses by season's end.
Mm.
And then they say go blue. Yeah, I don't. It's just not. As long as the defense plays well for Michigan, they're going to be okay. The defense is going to keep them in games. I don't know if Orgy is going to be one that's going to be able to come from 2 touchdowns behind in the late stages of the third quarter or the fourth quarter and pile up the passing yards that Michigan is going to need, especially in the new-look Big Ten.
Well, Michigan does have a strong defense and a really strong running game. Accentuated by Orgy right now. He's not J.J. McCarthy. And I agree with you. I wonder when Michigan gets a couple touchdowns behind what it will do. But we'll see. I could be fooled by Michigan. They might get better and better and better.
By the way, hats off to the Army and the Navy, who are both undefeated right now. And on top of the American Athletic Conference standings at 3-0 and 4-0 overall. Love to see Army-Navy have incredible meaning more than it does at the end of the year. I think that would be just absolutely amazing, and I hope it happens. 319-366-1600. Georgia-Alabama on Saturday night, Mark. What a football game. We did not think it was going to end up with nearly as much drama at halftime when it was all Bama at that point. But Kirby Smart in Georgia came back. Carson Beck had kind of an off night, but when he was on, things were going well for Georgia. And like you mentioned, Milroe was absolutely amazing. And my goodness, the SEC is really good. And hey, Mark say a couple weeks ago, Georgia got dinged too much for that Kentucky win at Lexington. And then Kentucky goes down to Oxford and beats Ole Miss.
Yeah, that final field goal in the Ole Miss game was really, that was rough to watch too. Right when it came off the shoot, I was like, oh my goodness, that was shanked. Like not even close. But yeah, Georgia's an interesting team right now. They just really can't get over the Alabama hump, whether Nick Saban's there or not. It's very, very interesting.
Texas A&M, I think, coming back, looking good after the Notre Dame loss. Texas, yes. Alabama, yes. Tennessee, a resounding yes. Georgia, don't shed any tears for the Bulldogs. They're still going to be fine. I think Kentucky's a pretty good team. Ole Miss. Vanderbilt gave Missouri all they wanted. Now, I think Mississippi State and Auburn are a little down. But, man, alive, Mark. That's a different ball game watching Georgia and Alabama on Saturday night.
Yeah, it really is. And if you recall, I picked Georgia based on the fact that I consulted my SEC expert, Rusty, and said in Rusty, I trust. And who calls me at halftime of that game? Rusty. That'll teach you to.
Did he apologize at least?
And then we saw the second half unfold, and we're texting back and forth, and it's just unbelievable. Carson Beck taking a little heat, the Georgia quarterback, for that last interception, but without him, Georgia wouldn't have come back. And Georgia did some things defensively that were good. But that game-winning touchdown by Alabama and the 17-year-old Ryan Williams, my goodness. You know, Milroe gets the 75 or 77 yards, whatever distance that covered. But that was all Ryan Williams. And it was just unbelievable.
It was. Getting ready to have the first pitch for Game 2 between the Braves and the Mets. It is going to be a full bullpen game for both squads, so this is going to be interesting. And trying to see exactly what the lineup is. It is on the mound, Grant Holmes taking the place of Chris Sale for the Atlanta Braves. Sale scratched with back spasms a little bit ago. And Joey Lucchese is going to be the pitcher for the New York Mets, who is 0-1 with a 10.38 ERA in 4.1 innings so far this year. You feeling really good if you're the Diamondbacks at this point?
Well, I don't know which way you should be. Sometimes bullpen games work out just fine because a left-hander will pitch an inning and then a right-hander will come in and pitch two or three and back to a left-hander, and it's hard to set a lineup and stay with it. And it looks like a lot of the starters are playing for both teams, not all. But, you know, you never know how this is going to develop, but it'd certainly be better if Sale was out there.
Lindor is sitting this game, but, yeah, you're right. The Mets are not – I mean, they've got Pete Alonso in there. Nimmo is in there. Marte, Harrison Bader. Mets are – they put out a decent lineup for this game, so I'm glad that they did that. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk a little NFL with you before we hand it off to Spencer Wagon and Spencer on Sports. So stay with us. More to come after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's majestic golden eagles and other less majestic birds taunting you through the baseball-sized hole in your new windows. It's soaring guitar solos performed through faulty wiring in your garage, which subsequently erupts into flames. It's also round-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of homeownership alive and kicking. America. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Are you ready to build your company's dream team? Just like in sports, finding skilled players is essential for success. With Robert Half's winning combination of specialized recruiting professionals and award-winning AI, we'll help you find the MVPs and key role players who will have you hanging banners in the rafters. Because in business, it's all about having the experienced team on your side. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Back with you to wrap things up here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Cal Elder joins us coming up tomorrow to preview the wild card round of the Major League Baseball playoffs. Looking forward to that. And we'll talk about the baseball that goes on early on Tuesday. That'll be coming up on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Jason in Nebraska says, I'd feel good if I were the D-backs. Atlanta had any games won this year and then blew them. This game will probably be no different. And yeah, Jeff says, how about the center for the Ravens last night? How about the Ravens, period? They are, in my opinion, though, I still think the Ravens are still the best team in the AFC. Even with two losses, it is still very early. Derrick Henry is starting to get this thing figured out with Lamar Jackson, and they are going to be pretty incredible. People commenting about the defense, and I kind of knew this was going to be the case on Saturday night, Mark. I don't think it's bad defense, though. I think it's just that these two teams have so much firepower. Good luck trying to stop them. I mean, Ryan Williams, what he did as a 17-year-old on that particular pass play for the ultimately the winning points, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's almost indefensible what he did. But, yeah, I think the skill on the offensive, you take Tennessee, too. Tennessee's got a really good defense, but so much skill on offense as well. So, I mean, I think that's true in a lot of cases in the SEC. You know, Georgia and Kentucky was, what, 15 to 12 games, something like that, kind of low scoring. But, and I think this is a bit of an outlier. But I just think it underscores the incredible skill on offense that these SEC teams have.
Yes, and Cyclone Tim, I got to give you credit. I got to give you props. I got to give you kudos. Had no idea the Minnesota Vikings were going to come out and do what they are doing this year at 4-0. And I'm sorry I said that with Spencer in the room. As a Packer fan, I'm sure that there will be Viking Packer talk, maybe between 4 and 6 coming up. But hats off to the Vikings. I did not think Sam Darnold had it in him. I do think that the Packers played Jordan Love a little early. I would not have played him yesterday, but, hey, it's a long season in the NFL. And we've got NFL football tonight for you. Seattle in Detroit to take on the Detroit Lions. 6:30 is the pregame time, 7:15 with the kickoff. They'll also keep you updated on Tennessee and the Miami Dolphins coming up tonight throughout that. And Mr. Swift showed up for your Bears yesterday, just in time for me not to play him in fantasy football.
Well, he did for a little while. Bears still didn't overwhelm by any means, but it was a victory over the Rams, which with Matt Stafford back there, that's a good team and good to get the win. But the Vikings have been super impressive. Don't worry about the Packers. They'll be fine, and the Lions are going to be there as well, and which you know what that means for my Bears.
Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
That is a fun team to watch. Lot of weapons, and now they've got a dynamic quarterback. We're going to be seeing some Washington Commander games flexed in into prime time. All right, Mark, have a good night. We'll talk with you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right, stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next for 4 until 6 right here on 1600 ESPN. Have a great night.
Hey, football fans, with BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY.